Good morning, everybody. Again, a warm welcome to Toulouse. We are so proud to have you here. I think Toulouse is a very interesting site that you will visit this afternoon. Here we manage the commercial avionics business. We run our global network of support, all the support centers we have worldwide. And we develop, it's a site specializing in the development of complex functions. This is here that we develop the flight management system and in particular of the 400F. And of course, everybody will remember that Toulouse is the European capital city for aeronautics. So probably the right place to make this presentation here about our avionics activities. So, avionics. Scope of our activities, it's quite simple. It covers what we call flight avionics, in-flight entertainment and connectivity, and training and simulation. Flight avionics, the definition of avionics, and you know what it is. It is the contraction of avion and electronics. So it's all critical electronics on board an aircraft to assist the pilots in not only piloting the aircraft, but depending on the mission, transport or military, in achieving his mission. In Thales, our strong points are certainly our strong offer is in the cockpit. We have a long experience now in supplying the man-machine interface in the cockpit. The part we see and you will see this afternoon are of course the displays, the screens, all the functions we can display. Behind this, there is a complex computing platform which has to be extremely redundant and which needs to be certifiable by the authorities. And it is certainly one of our strong points. We have developed a special know-how in this field. The rest of our activities are about navigation, inertial navigations, GPS, both civil and military, and gradually more and more software functions which play a key role in an aircraft, like the autopilot, the terrain avoidance warning system, and the flight management system, of course. In flight avionics, we are number three worldwide. We are the only non-American in the top five list of suppliers. In flight entertainment, we'll be explained in detail by Alan here, so I will go quickly in this presentation. And in flight entertainment and connectivity. Training and simulation, we have an activity which is mainly military, military simulation for crews, for pilots. It's about piloting, about conducting the mission as well. And we have a dual activity for helicopters, commercial and military. The split of our activity, you see it on this pie chart here. We have almost three quarters today in flight avionics, IFC and training and simulation being the rest. But you will see then that the growth and the growth of IFE is much higher than the rest of our activities. The split between commercial and military is today 70%, 30%, 30% military avionics. It's only by chance that on this pie chart you find exactly the same split between line fit and support. We have a support activity of 30%. It's still growing in apportion as the warranty period will expire on the flying base we have. and it is the most profitable activity in our business model, like our competitors. I will skip to the next one, customers. So it's a global activity, and I think we know intimately all the aircraft manufacturers worldwide. It's a rather small club, but we are present everywhere in commercial, military, and this dual activity of helicopters. It's not enough to be good and to win competitions for these aircraft manufacturers. It's as important to serve very well the end user, the airlines. Airlines, we have more than 300 airlines today active in our accounts worldwide. In total, there must be something like 350 worldwide. So the active, and we are present on all the 350, but the active and the one which contract regularly with us, which have a flow of business with us, are today more than 300. And more than 500 operators then, between air forces, helicopter operators, business jet operators, and MROs, maintenance and repair organizations. Our development. I had the privilege to brief you several years ago when we were really in a turmoil. We were facing many difficulties. We were a bit overwhelmed by too many developments in parallel, and we unfortunately booked severe losses. And we had some problems, as you can imagine, to satisfy our customers. So today this chart presents you the dates, the entry into service dates of the various aircraft on which we have developed critical avionics. I'm glad to say, after several years now of working with our customers, several days of applying very rigorously the measures that we presented a long time ago, which were part of Provasis, I'm very happy to see today that, number one, we can say that we have been on time, and we didn't delay any of these programs. Conversely, it doesn't mean that all these aircraft programs were on time. As you know, it's classical in the development of new aircraft. There are some delays, but we were capable to understand the critical milestones for all our customers, to build a scenario with them which was fully compatible, and we have met these milestones with success. The performances are good. And the customers now have totally recovered then their confidence, their trust in Thales. This applies as well to the A400M. A400M was one of the most critical issues we had with the development of the flight management system. What we decided now a long time ago worked perfectly well, which was to take advantage of key resources we had in the rest of the group. Our problems on A400M stemmed largely from a lack of system expertise we had in the avionics team. We had a lot of contractual problems with Airbus, so we had to renegotiate fully the contract. This was done and signed. So it was done successfully, and we signed a contract amendment, re-establishing a very clear baseline. All the detailed specifications are now understood. We have checked that they are feasible. We have used the system expertise that we brought from air traffic management, from Thales Raytheon systems in the C4I, military C4I expertise, to be able to master completely the specifications of this complex application, and then to deliver on time. I'm very glad to report that the first military build of this incremental development was delivered 2 months ahead of the contractual schedule, which means that this new process that we have built together, rebuilt together with Airbus, works. It means that the skills we have brought and that we keep in an integrated team, and we have about 300 people working full-time on the software development for this five dimension system, and you will have a demo and you will talk to the boss of this team this afternoon. So I'm very glad to see that all these measures bear fruit now, and above all, that our customer is extremely satisfied by these results. Furthermore, as we had to do a lot of things, and I will comment what we keep doing to improve our efficiency and the profitability of avionics activity. Furthermore, I think because we had to work hard and to change many things, the customers recognized that. Of course, they were, several years ago, they were not happy at all, but they've understood what we did. We did it very closely with them, customers, and now they come to us and ask for more development. So this applies to several of these programs you see on this slide. This applies to ATR. ATR has understood that the modern avionics is a differentiator. ATR 600 is a great success, as you know. It sells very well. They are using in a clever way all the functions that we can bring to add value to their proposals to the end customers. We have several builds of new software versions now, which will give them the ability to land on far more airports internationally, because the aircraft on its own will be able to have an extreme precision in landing, and just using pure avionics means. So that's an example. There are other examples, like for Sikorsky, the helicopters, S-76D, on which we are in a continuous development mode, again, to bring additional functionalities to help the aircraft manufacturer to sell better, to sell more. The most recent and probably largest development we are finishing now is on the A350. A350 will be the largest ship set we ever developed for Airbus. You see on this small graph the comparison between the ship set value of an A320 and then on the various generations of new aircraft in Airbus. So after A380, which was already a big increase compared to what we had before, A350 now comes to the highest value. Why that? It's because we are present on several parts of the aircraft, as illustrated here. So of course we have the classical cockpit displays with the computing platform. We provide all the computing power of the system of the aircraft. It's a general purpose computing platform with a high safety thanks to redundancy. And we have developed, and we have a special IPs on that, we have developed a method to separate fully various applications which are developed by our competitors and by others on the aircraft, but we house all these applications and we can prove to FAA or to the European agency that through the middleware we are putting in this platform and through the architecture, we can guarantee that if any application fails somewhere and there is a bug and the application gets stuck, all the other applications will continue to work safely. And this is very, very important because applications are, for instance, the critical autopilot of the aircraft, something which needs to work permanently whatever difficulties could be met on the hardware. Other important things we have introduced on the A350 is a new inertial unit using a technology that we have developed in France, in Châtellerault. This is a 3D gyro laser for which we have patents, quite unique patents. And the first flight of the A350 has demonstrated a much, much higher accuracy ever met on an Airbus plane. Again, it opens up, it gives the possibility to Airbus in the future to bring this high accuracy in the positioning of the aircraft and develop new functions which could not be thought of before. We have the IFC as a standard offer on the aircraft as well, but again, Alan will spend time on that. We have an electrical system, some SATCOM equipment, so overall a lot of electronics and software on board this aircraft. The development is finishing now. It has been proven by the first flight. On the first flight, first of all, it's a great success for Airbus, as you know, because it's the first time a first flight could not just take off and land. It was a true first working session during 4 hours where the pilots, the trial pilots, were able to test almost a complete system and test a large part of the flight envelope of the aircraft. We were very proud of these results because with this backbone we have in the system of the aircraft and with all the computing power we have on board, we knew that if there were problems, they would have showed at the first flight. Since the first flight, the campaign has intensified now that several aircraft are flying in parallel. I can tell you we had almost no return, which proves that all the system engineering work we did in advance to test, to shake our system, and to prove that it works, it is safe, paid off, which means that, of course, we gain time as well, and we can now reduce workload on the development and put our engineers on the next steps. The next steps will be to reuse these very advanced developments we have. This will form the basis of our new offers in the product policy we are developing. A350 avionics plays a very important role. This is the starting point. Another important topic is support. I mentioned it at the beginning. We have developed a global organization to be able to serve all the airlines worldwide. It took us years to build this network, to understand the customer needs, and to bring it to this level of to get this level of satisfaction of our customers. The recipe is a single quality baseline. It's a central organization distributed, as you see on this chart. We have three main hubs and to serve the three parts of the world: Americas, with a hub in New Jersey, U.S. a hub in France, Châtellerault, and a hub in Singapore to serve Asia Pacific. The rest are field services teams close to the airlines' hubs. Yeah. Everything is now integrated, automatized. The transactions are dematerialized, but you will have in the visits. And you will spend some time to understand better how we reach this level of integration. We are rated each and every year by the airlines, and we keep in the top rated companies in support. This is very important for customer satisfaction, very important for profitability. As I said before, this is the most profitable part of our business, and we continue to grow profitability of this activity. On the next slide, I would like just to comment about the growth in the various segments of our activities. IFE and connectivity is by far the most growing in a double-digit growth of the market. And Thales, IFE team, benefits fully of this growth. This will be, again, explained better afterwards. Commercial avionics has a mid-single-digit growth. It is linked to the air traffic progression, which, as you perfectly know, is a constant growth. It's not a huge growth, but it's a constant growth, whatever the global economy may be. And it's very impressive to see that despite the global economy problems we had recently, it's striking to see that the air traffic continues to grow. We had worldwide more than 5% last year. The forecast for this year is above 5% again. This is linked to the globalization of the economy. It is linked to the demography. It is linked to the raising of large cities in growth areas like China, or India. So this is a factor on which we can count. And then you can add to that, so of course more aircraft are needed, and that's why Airbus and Boeing have this record backlog now of 7 to 8 years of backlog of production of aircraft. And we can add to that on top of the increased base of flying people, we can add that the airlines all need to modernize their fleets. They all are looking for efficiency, and it's obvious that new aircraft are far more efficient in terms of fuel burn, in terms of reliability for maintenance, so in terms of operating costs. And that's why you see so many huge orders received by the big aircraft manufacturers. So again, we benefit of this growth. You have seen on the previous charts that we have been busy in many multiple developments in the past years. So the ramp up in production of these many developments is still in front of us. That's why we can count on this mid-single digit growth. Training and simulation. It's almost the same. As I commented, and we specialize now in the helicopter, which is a fast-growing activity on the commercial side. That new countries like China open their space to lower space. We will see helicopter booming in this country and other countries. For training and simulation, we see a trend towards training services. We are investing in training centers, so this is another way to boost our growth in this field. For the military avionics, we are rather conservative in our forecast for the time. We don't count any Rafale export opportunity. If and when Rafale will export in avionics, we have an important ship set linked to the avionics, everything which helps the pilots to just guide the aircraft. And there are many other activities of Thales on the Rafale, as you know. Now, I would like to give you a few hints about what we did so far to improve our profitability. I'm glad to say that this is proven because in 2013, we were able to achieve a high single-digit EBIT. So this is already in our books. This is the fruit of all the action plans linked to Provasis, but it's not the end. We think that with Ambition 10, as part of Ambition 10, we can continue to grow the profits of this activity. I would like just to highlight a few points. We have many actions. We continue. We have developed a culture of improvements in avionics, especially after the problems we have met several years ago. And this is, by the way, what our customers expect in this highly competitive market. And the rate or degree or speed of transformation. So what are the main themes for continuing to improve these EBITs? Certainly mastering our new developments. We have learned a lot from the past. I don't repeat what Patrice presented this morning. I think we are a big customer of Patrice's teams to continue to improve using the best skills for engineering, investing in the training and in buying the necessary equipment and licenses to equip all our labs. The second point was a radical shift. We have turned to the bespoke offers tailored customer by customer or aircraft manufacturers by aircraft manufacturer to what we called a product offer. Like the automotive industry, we have learned how to do a far better job in planning in advance various needs. We use marketing to help us to understand that. Then we design a single architecture, as common as we can. And there will be, of course, some adaptations, but a very common part that we call the product. And we then focus all our investments and the funding we can get from R&T programs in Europe, in France, and in some countries to focus and to consistently develop things which are ready when the call for tenders come out. Another point, and you will have an illustration with one of our dream products this afternoon. Another very important point in this profession is certainly to reach the highest possible quality standard. It's by chance that we just received from Airbus this award you see here. You see a lot of glass. It's on the table here. You see a lot of glass. What counts is here. This is gold. So we have received the gold award for... Being recognized as a top performer in terms of quality in our production for Airbus. Again, this is the outcome of years and years of constant improvement of our processes, streamlining our production, and it gives very, very rewarding results. Other classical sources, of course, will come from the increased production rates, which will give us more leverage to negotiate with our suppliers. Optimizing the manufacturing footprint, we transferred part of our production, the high series production, so for the A320 mainly, to Singapore, and it's a success, and we obtain very good quality from scratch. On our production plant in Singapore. We are working at decreasing the euro-dollar exchange rate exposure. This is just by subcontracting to non-euro zones. We do that in a systematic way. Today we use a lot, of course, the Asian supplier base because this is the most competitive one. And Singapore site is instrumental in this. Another thing that we do, which will transform our activity, is to diversify. In the past, we have been too dependent on Airbus as a customer. So Airbus remains very important, and Airbus gives us a lot of volume. But we have now won, as you saw on the previous chart, important new positions with regional, on the regional aircraft and business jets. And business jets has the advantage that the renewal cycle is shorter. It gives us the ability to reuse more the outcome of what was called our dream products. So we see more use, reuse of our offer. And as I said before, we count on growing further our customer support activities. It comes from the flying days, in the increase in flying days. Not only, we develop new services, and we will present you later today examples of new services we develop to help airlines to optimize their fleets and to reduce their, to just be more efficient, to reduce their costs. Last, I would like to conclude on time, and you will see more of that this afternoon. I would like to comment a bit on Avionics 2020. This is our what we like to call a dream product. This is the outcome of years of innovation. During the crisis, you know, I think you heard that before, and during the crisis, we didn't stop investing in the future. We worked hard to recover, to turn around the business, and we kept investing in the future. We have several innovation hubs. One of them specialized in man-machine interface. We won several awards for the level of innovation that our teams has created here. You will judge by yourself. I think it's a very intuitive cockpit. We develop it now as our basic offer to address air transport, helicopter, and business jets with the same platform and then adaptations to each case. We already demonstrate it to our customers, and we already put it in offers. So this is brand new, and this will be the first time we use this well-organized product offering to address multiple customers, and on doing this, we come with margin ambitions. Part of this process when we design such a product is from scratch to give very ambitious goals to our teams in terms of costs, to go really to low production costs and create values. And in the pricing, in the negotiations with our customers, to play, of course, on the value we are creating to them, saving their own costs, improving their own efficiencies, to build better margins than we had before. I don't want to be too long, because you will have the opportunity to see more of that. I would like now to hand it over to Alan for IFE. Thank you for your attention.